Thanks so much, praise team. I'll catch that. Thanks for blessing us, and it's like the Holy Spirit knew exactly what he wanted to say through you today as he spoke to all of us. So praise God for the worship. We are going to begin our time going back to God's Word. So just take your Bibles, if you guys would, and turn over to James chapter 1. And we praise God today. It's nice to see lots of faces maybe we haven't seen in a while. And there's one face that's here in the back. His name is Guy Minot from Virginia, not the Guy Minot in the food pantry. So it's good to see him here today as well. And I'm going to ask him, he is a veteran. He's been here all the way back to his childhood. So Guy, would you come up and would you open us up in prayer and just pray for the word this morning? Would you do it? By the way, it's nice to see Misty there, too. We see you as well. What's up, brother?
Good to see you,
my brother.
God bless you. It's always good to be back here at First Baptist Church. I've been here for a long time, seen some familiar faces here, still here, see a lot of new faces here, and it's just a blessing to see what God does in the community. A long time ago when I was here, obviously the food pantry was not here, and my dad, that's all he talks about now is that food pantry.
He was made for that particular ministry.
Amen.
And you just never know where God will lead somebody. You think, you know, God, your purpose is for something else, but then later on down the road, without you even thinking about it, God just puts something in your life that resonates with you. You can see where God can take it, and you pour your heart and soul into that thing God placed in your life by faith, knowing that whatever Jesus Christ did on the cross is going to translate into someone's eternal life through whatever that ministry is. And my dad saw that, and to see that food pantry grow like it has been and see so many people blessed by it, and then another church is here joining together, it's just amazing what I see here. And obviously, we go to church down there in Virginia. Been in the military for a long time, seen a lot of different faces, a lot of different cultures. And it's just a breath of fresh air to come back to Willingboro and just see, you know, how that plays out here as well. A lot of faces, a lot of cultures, a lot of ages in God's kingdom. You know, I just praise God for all of it. And I thank you most of all for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for our sins so that we can come together as saints and under one Amen. Name and then realize that this is not our home. Everything here is going to lead for rewards in the everlasting. And all the ailments, all the things that we're going through, that's all going to pass away. I noticed Pastor Gary slowed down just a little bit walking up the steps. Back in the day, he used to run circles around us, you know. He always stayed in shape. But I would say to say I'm a little bit stronger than him now. I'm sorry. But, it's okay. You know, it's all right. You know,
bigger.
Praise God for that. But anyway, good to be here this morning. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the gift through the crucifixion of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. While we were yet sinners, you gave him up as a sacrifice for us, Heavenly Father, when we didn't deserve it. And we thank you for that, Lord. And there's nothing we could have done to earn such a gift. And Lord God, we ask you to prepare our hearts and minds for the message that Pastor Gary has prepared, and pray that we keep it in our hearts, meditate on it, Heavenly Father, and seek to apply it to our everyday lives, Lord God, and not being forgetful hearers of your word, but faithful doers. We thank you, Lord God, for today. We ask you to bless the trip to the beach and whatever we endeavor to do this Sunday. We pray that you keep your hand on us, Lord. We thank you, and you're worthy of all praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, my brother. Love this. All right. Love you, brother. Good to see you. Great to see people come back, isn't it? Amen. And see how God is blessing and working in their lives. So go to the book of James, if you guys would, this morning. And we are going to dive in. We continue our series, by the way, called Building Kingdom Homes, Marriage, Parenting, and Growing Together in Christ. And we want to focus today on a topic. I'm sure nobody here needs to hear this, but maybe you have a friend or neighbor that might. Resolving conflict. So I know nobody struggles with that, right? That's for somebody else, right? You know, a lot of times we sit in church, right, and we're saying, man, I'm so glad that so-and-so was here to hear that message. But I'm so glad that God spoke to me this week because, we're all a mess and we all need help in this area. And I want to encourage you to think about the subtitle here, Really Winning in the Battle of Conflict. And I'll throw this out, really winning isn't you win and get your way. Really winning is we maintain oneness in our relationships. That's really the key. So we're going to dive into that this morning. I'll throw this out. Sometimes it seems like our marriage is a constant battle. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Amen. Wives, don't beat up your husbands. They said amen, right? How can we overcome this continuous conflict? And I want to just look at God's word and see what he says. I want to take us to our eternal truth quickly this morning. And the eternal truth that I want to share with you guys, you know, we've been focusing on this idea of building a kingdom home that is this place of stability and growth and honesty and integrity and the deepening of relationships. And, as we stop and we think about all that, here's the deal. I'm just going to skip down to the bottom there, but conflict is common in marriage, isn't it? Amen? Is it common? Yep. And I'll throw this out. Whatever I'm going to say today is not going to take away the conflict in your life. But our goal today is we need to learn how to handle conflict correctly, biblically, with loving confrontation and the seeking and granting of forgiveness so that we maintain oneness in our relationships. And I want to throw this out. Some of you guys are going, well, I'm not married or, you know, my spouse has passed away or whatever it is. You know what? Relationships are a mess, aren't they? But they're worth it. They're really worth it. So I want to focus on this last point as we dig in this morning. We must strive for being one versus being right. You know, people say that, well, I'm right, and you may be, but don't blow up your marriage or your relationship to be right. That's kind of the point, right? You know, there's certain hills to die on. Most of the hills aren't hills to die on that we try, right? So we're going to dive right on in to our text this morning and this concept. And Sam, just advance me if you would there, my brother. There we go. So we're going to dig in first off, and I want to talk about, we think about conflict, right? By the way, it's everywhere, isn't it? Do you have conflict on your job? Do you have conflict at home? You have conflict with your kids, your wife? You have conflict with your neighbors. You know, we have, by the way, do we have conflict at church? Yes. Yes, we do, right? Conflicts everywhere. What's the reason for all that? Why is life so conflicted? What is going on? And we're going to look at this today. So the first thing I want you guys to get in your mind, here's the source. The source is you and I and everyone else out there has all these desires, and by and large, they go unmet. And that just turns into a hot mess, as they say, right? So here's a question. This conflict, what does it look like? We're going to look at that. When does it happen? Why does it happen? And what are some of the dangers, by the way, because conflict is the problem. It usually leads to our anger. What are some of the dangers of anger? And by the way, notice, everybody look up at that picture. What is that? That's the desires burning in your heart. They're burning. They're hot. Like, you want something, and man, you'll do anything to get it. Me too. And that's where God has to enter this picture. By the way, thanks God for saying this. Praise God that Jesus came and gave us hope that we can overcome this stuff, right? And that's what we're going to look at today. So let's dig in right off the bat, and let's talk about the conflict source. So if you didn't write it down now, write it down. The conflict source is you have unmet desires and I have unmet desires, and when they don't get met, they usually lead to anger. And it's all about this. Our issue is we don't get what we want. And I'm going to throw this out. Let's illustrate that real quick. Anybody been to, like, Walmart, someplace, and you stand in the customer service line? Like, I'll throw this out. You can see a whole lot of Bible going on right there, right? Right? There's a whole lot going on. Well, you know, this ain't working. I want to bring this back. But you bought it 2 years ago. So, you know, I still should be able to bring it back, right? People, that's kind of what's going on, right? You know? And that's exactly what we're talking about. And it happens in all our relationships. And I want to share with you, and by the way, this scripture, when it comes to issues in life like conflict and anger and all those things, and we're going to talk about, by the way, some of you guys are thinking in your mind, I can see it, you know, is anger a sin? We're going to answer that question in a second, right? It can be. But here's the issue. What is the source of all these problems? And by the way, Jesus' half-brother, James, he wrote about this. James, by the way, is such a practical letter. It's kind of like Old Testament style as it's written, like almost proverbial in some ways. But he says this. Look what he writes. He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Did you ever ask that question? You know, when you're thinking in your mind, you know, you and your wife are driving along and you're kind of hot about something and you keep telling yourself, don't say anything. And then what do? You go and say something. You know, and it's like, you know, it's like an accident waiting to happen, right? It's just terrible, right? So he says, where do wars and fights come from among you? And he says, do they not come for your desires for pleasure that war in your members? And I want you guys to get a hold of this for a second. Your desires, and that word war is kind of a strong word, isn't it? But think about that. The things you want, the desires in your heart just kind of well up and bubble up, and they become so hot, kind of like lava, that, man, they just create war. And I'll throw this out. A lot of times our conflict, and tell me if you think about this way, a lot of times our conflict, we feel it coming up in us. Anybody say that? Can you feel it? When you're about to get hot and you know something didn't go your way, which, by the way, is like 90% of the time things don't go our way, right? You know, things don't go our way, and you can just feel it like welling up in you. And I'm going to throw this out. That is a warning sign. When you feel that welling up in you, sometimes it's better just to close your mouth, right? But look what he says. He says, do they not come from the desires for pleasure that war in your members? And I want you to get this idea. It says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Otherwise, you can't get it. You try anything to get it, but you still can't get it. And by the way, you know what that means? It's just welling up more and more and more. It's just getting worse, right? And he says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And he's kind of using an Old Testament principle or idea here. The idea of talking about adultery. Remember God called the nation of Israel an adulterous nation? And his issue wasn't an issue of sexuality. It was an issue of they were really married to God. They were supposed to be one with the Lord, and they were out there chasing every other god and every other thing. And, you know, by the way, our hearts are like a factory that can create idols in a second. You know, like, and you know, we're not maybe chasing gods of wood, you know, and stone so much right now, figuratively. We're not bowing down to them. But man, we chase everything and we replace God with those things. And he says, that's the problem. Our desires are really not for what God wants to give us. Our desires are for all this other stuff. And we're kind of living this adulterous life, chasing all those things. And that friendship with the world to go get all those things is really a hatred of God, and it causes our relationship to suffer. And he says this, he says, do you not think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? And by the way, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit, he's talking about the spirit in your flesh. If somebody gets something really nice, don't you kind of want it? You know, somebody drives in church and they got a brand new ride. And you go, oh, look at that car. And then you kind of look at yours and go, oh. Right? Right? Is it true? Isn't it true? Right? Or you see somebody got, you know, you're a kid and somebody got some new shoes. You're like, whoa, man, those are cool. Those are like $200. You know, and you go, dang, I got mine at Walmart. You know? You know, you think about all those kind of things, right? You know, and that's what he's talking about. Like, our flesh is just built that way, and that's why we need the Spirit of God. We need to be saved. We need God's power to overcome this, because it is just going to be an explosive mess and carnage everywhere if we don't deal with this issue. And by the way, that's kind of what happens in our marriages. So we're gonna skip along here for a second today. So here's the thought. So what does this conflict look like? And I want you guys to jot this down. There's some things, and by the way, I'll make these slides available. These are not all my thoughts at all, but they're excellent and they really address the issue. So what does it look like? What's this conflict look like, and why does this anger come out? What does anger look like when we're upset, when we don't get what we want? And I'll throw this out. When we are hurt by our spouse or another person, or we don't get what we expect or desire, we generally respond or react in one of the two ways. And here they are. The first one is, and by the way, everybody look up. We're not better if we do one versus two. It's just how we do it. Sometimes we say, well, you know, I held it in. And you probably did for 2 weeks, and then you really exploded real big. You understand? So, like, the first thing is this. So we get angry. We don't get what we want. The anger builds up, and we hold it in. In other words, relationally, you know what? We kind of reject the other person. We give them the silent treatment, or, you know, we just talk about things we got to talk about. But we reject them, and we kind of withdraw into ourselves. But I want to say this. That's not good either. That's not the biblical way to handle conflict, right? Here's the second one, and the one we kind of think about most, right? We don't hold it in, we just blow up. And by the way, sometimes it even happens on Sunday morning. I can remember, you guys, by the way, a lot of us have kids, right? I can remember sometimes Sunday morning, I was as unholy before I got here as you could imagine. You know, because you know how it is, right? You're saying, get ready, come on, come on, come on, churches, we got to be there. It's 9:40, church is at 9:45, right? You know, or Sunday school, whatever we're trying to get to. Pastor, amen, right? Amen, preach it, brother, right? Right? And sometimes Sunday morning, you're like, man, I'm not even sure I'm saved. Right? So we blow up, right? We blow up, and the anger comes out, the aggression comes out, the hostility comes out. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. For most of us, for many, it says, anger is the most common response when conflict occurs. Some of us kind of hold it in a little while. You know, I always kid around like men and ladies, right? You know, with men, we just kind of blow up and fight, and then we're friends like an hour later. Right? Ladies, you guys tend to think about stuff and ponder it, and you know, and 2 weeks later, you're still thinking about it. You know, right?
But us as men, we already duked it up, and now we're hanging out again, right? You know, that's how it goes, right? But neither response, by the way, is good. Neither one is good, right? And I want to throw out to us, and the Bible gives us this in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. He says this, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man, and by the way, ladies, don't think you're off the hook. Let every man, means all of us, men, women, children, right, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And that's kind of because we know how, like, dangerous it is. And, you know, I throw out to you guys, think about all the amazing good things you did when you were angry. That's probably a pretty short list, right? When you think about good and amazing things you did, right? And that, likewise for me. Think about that. So we understand. So what does it look like, right? Where conflict's happening, we get angry, we either hold it in and we're simmering. You know, it's like a pressure cooker. You know, it's just terrible, right? Or we just blow up and you know, there's bloodshed everywhere. So neither one a good place. So here's the next thing. So when and why does this occur? What happens? What drives this to happen? And I want you guys to think about this for a second. You kind of jot these down. Here's what makes me get angry. Here's what makes you get angry. And we'll, by the way, we're going to talk about how to address it in a second. But here's some of the things. We think our rights have been violated. And I mean as a person. I'm not talking about your civil rights, all those kind of things. By the way, that can happen. Our rights have been violated. So all of a sudden, we are ready to fight. Right? That's one. Here's another one. Our expectations have not been met. Quick advertisement. If you're going to get married, get marital counseling. Seriously, right? Seriously. Because so many people, we go into it thinking it's going to be like a rose garden, nothing but fun, nothing. Everything is just going to work out. You know, we had that kind of dating relationship. It was just amazing. Man, life does not work that way. You know, and we have to talk through those things. And by the way, you know, if you're thinking about getting married, I guarantee you, your future spouse has different ideas about almost everything than you do. And if you don't kind of bring that out and kind of reconcile those things before you get started, those are the seeds and the foundations for problems in the future. And I just encourage everyone so much to really think about that. But unmet expectations, by the way, it happens on your job. Things are not communicated clearly. That's not in my job description. You know, people get all upset, right? Those kind of things happen. Expectations are not met. And then there's conflict. And that's what we're talking about. And then there's conflict. Then we get hot. Then there's anger. And I'll throw this one out. We have been hurt. Doesn't that make people angry? Doesn't that create conflict? And I'm going to throw this out. Sometimes a hurt, by the way, isn't always physical. It might be our pride. You know, it might be our feelings get stepped on. We might feel like we're unappreciated in marriage, right? You know, a lot of times moms will say this, you don't appreciate us. You know, our wives think that sometimes. You know, we're running around. That was the Holy Spirit. Said, yeah, amen, right? You know, we're running around doing all these things as men sometimes, and we fail to appreciate what our wives do. And by the way, that is a seed again of conflict, right? You know, and those are such important things. And by the way, even kids, right? Teenagers, young people, right? We don't really appreciate a lot of times what our parents go through. We don't really appreciate that. And that, again, that causes this conflict. Like our expectations are up here and the delivery is somewhere lower and it doesn't really work out. And yeah, I just want to say this again. I put it here twice. You know what? Anger is the most common response. And this is why it happens, right? Because our rights are violated, our expectations are not met, or we have been hurt. So here's a question, right? Talk about this for a second. I'm kind of hopefully reading your minds. So, man, anger must be the worst sin that there is, right? Wrong. Right? Check it out. Anger is a God-given emotion. And I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. Is God angry? There's a famous sermon. It was preached years ago by Jonathan Edwards. It's called Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. God is angry at sin. But here's the thought. Anger is a God-given emotion that can be helpful or harmful. So anger that is actually channeled in the right direction, and I put this here, anger can motivate us to resolve conflict and restore relationships. In other words, you're angry, and you understand, really, the ultimate problem is Satan. The ultimate problem is our sinful heart. And I'm angry, and I want to fix it, so I'm going to do everything I can to make my relationship work. Does that make sense? And I'm going to throw this out. I want you guys to think about this with me for a second. Think about the Lord. I mean, God the Father. God is angry at sin, right? Think about the Old Testament. Sometimes, do you remember when the ground swallowed up the people that disobeyed God? I hope that doesn't happen now. I hope that doesn't happen Sunday morning at our house, right? Right? But think about that. Like, the Lord is serious about sin, right? He's serious. He hates sin. He can't stand it. God is holy. He can't touch sin. He can't be around sin. He is, you know, he is just so different than us, right? And here's the challenge. But you know what? God didn't take his anger to destroy us ultimately. God took his anger and said, I'm going to send Jesus to the cross, and I'm going to determine to save people from their sins. You know, and that's kind of played out. I think about the Lord Jesus himself. Remember on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Right? Like by the way, do you think when Jesus, when they were striking him with the whip, do you think he was angry? I think he probably was. You know, when they nailed him to that cross, do you think Jesus was angry? We know he never sinned, but he was angry, but he channeled and he said, you know, he said, I could have called, you know, 10,000 angels to get me down. He could have struck every one of them dead. But he used his anger to say, I am going to do what mankind needs. I'm going to die to pay the penalty for their sin. And I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to conquer sin and Satan forever so that people of the world can be God's people for eternity, right? So anger has that positive thing, right? I want to throw this out. Confession, and probably we all can confess this together. Most of the time for me, my anger is not righteous. My anger is the anger we just read about in James chapter 4, right? I didn't get what I want, so I'm mad. Right? But God can use that anger for good, and we can too in a redeemed way. So here's the thought that I want to share. The second piece of that is anger can be a weapon to hurt or control. And again, for many of us, that's probably kind of where it's at, isn't it? When I get angry, what do I want to do? I want to get what I want, so I'll use that anger to make you feel bad, to insult you, to drive you to some place where I get what I want. And again, that's called sin, right? Look what the book of Ephesians, Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said this, he said, be angry. In other words, you can be angry, but he says, do not sin. And look what he says about this. He says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And you guys know that principle, right? And the principle really is this, and write this down. We need to handle today's problems and today's conflict today. Does that make sense? You know, and by the way, you might say, well, you know, my wife had to work overnight. We couldn't resolve it. That's okay. When she comes home, resolve it. That's what we're talking about. Don't wait. By the way, I said this a million times. Don't think it's going to blow over. It's only going to blow up. So you can't, like, wait and think it's going to go away and be hopeful and, oh, you know, it's okay. Everything's okay. And by the way, we do this as Christians all the time. And by the way, it's wrong. You know, we say, oh, it's okay. But in our heart, it is so not okay. And we're kind of putting that on the score sheet. because the next time it happens, we're going to bring the score sheet out, and we're going to have all the evidence to go at that person's throat, right? You understand? It's not okay. And the Lord says, he says, you'll be angry if you're angry, but don't sin. Be careful. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And by the way, notice verse 27. Would you guys read that with me? What's it say? Nor give place to the devil. And I like to think of that as kind of like a parallel thought. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, because what? It's like giving the devil an opportunity to come in and destroy your relationships. And we do it all the time because we, by the way, does anybody here like confrontation? Raise your hand. Pastor Anthony, watch out for him. No, I'm okay. By the way, I'll throw this out. We as Christians, as we grow up, and by the way, that's actually, he doesn't like to fight. He's not. Let's clean that up, right, Pastor Anthony? Pastor Anthony's not a fighter. He's not ugly. He's not all those kind of things, right? But what we're talking about, biblically, right, when something goes wrong, biblical confrontation is something that we need to get comfortable with. In our flesh, you know what happens when confrontation comes? We are going as far that way as possible. You've heard it, right? In our homes, right? I remember this as a kid. You know, when your father gets home, watch out. Right? You ever heard that expression, right? You know, or the other side of that expression is, don't tell your father. Right? We try to avoid confrontation. We kind of try to tamp it down, and we don't want to have that come up. Or, you know, somebody's always angry. We say, don't talk to that person. He's always angry. You know, we kind of use all those things to sort of avoid the confrontation. But what God wants us to do is to biblically confront each other and deal with the issues. Because they're going to come up, and you're going to have to deal with them anyway. It's sort of like we like to deceive ourselves that it's all going to be okay, but it really isn't going to be okay. And that's kind of the challenge. So here we go. So we're thinking about these things, right? So we know how anger works. It can be a weapon, or it can motivate us to do something right when our anger is righteous. I'll throw out to you guys one important verse. It says this in the book of James 2. It says, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. So usually when I'm hot, it's not because I'm worried about God's holiness being violated. It's just because I didn't get what I wanted, right? So when we see anger, when anger wells up, everybody look up. When anger wells up, it's like the check engine light on your car is on. You know, and it's flashing. Like you know, sometimes I remember I read about this in my car manual. Sometimes the check engine light comes on, and it just means you need to, like, change this valve. There's something wrong with the pollution. Nothing bad is going to happen. But sometimes the light comes on, and it's, like, flashing. Anger is the flash. When you see that, when you feel that way, when it's welling up in your heart, be careful, be careful, be careful. And that's what we want to talk about next. We're going to go to the next slide. Here's the deal. What are some of the dangers about anger that we got to watch out for? Everybody, write this word down. It's actually three words, four. Fruit of the Spirit. We need to exercise our self-control in the power of the Spirit of God when you feel that feeling come up. Because here's some of the results of anger when it's uncontrolled. One of them is bitterness. You know, the book of Hebrews, it says this, don't even let a root of bitterness start. Because when you get the root, pretty soon you're going to have the tree. Right? Bitterness is ugly. And anger that's unresolved, undealt with, tends to be this root of bitterness that wells up in us. Anger that's not controlled also can result in depression. Here's what I mean by that. Sometimes we just get to a place where we feel hopeless. We feel like we can never talk to this person. Maybe even in a marriage, the closest person on earth, God's gift to you, if you can't relate to that person, it is devastating. It just sucks the life out of us. It can drive us right to depression. By the way, uncontrolled anger can cause us to be in conflict with God. We are so angry, It's like we are so calloused over that the word of God cannot penetrate us. You know, we're like, I don't care what God says. I'm going to pick on Miss Nelda, the birthday girl. Remember you told me, Miss Nelda told me this story. She had a conflict with a friend, right? And the friend, by the way, is real biblical. She was here yesterday. And she tried to confront Nelda and say, wait a minute, Nelda, I know you're angry, but let's talk about what God's word says. And she said, Nelda said, what? Don't bring God into this. Right? You know, that's kind of the challenge, you know, because we all know if you bring God into it, what happens? We're wrong and we got to deal with the issue, right? You know, that's sort of the challenge. But that's how it happens with conflict. I'll throw this out. Anger, right? Unresolved, undealt with, conflict undealt with, sometimes can result in violence. And that's scary. Murder is an act of passion, an act of no self-control. You know, and sadly that happens, right? And by the way, we know the Lord said about that in the Sermon on the Mount, right? If you're angry at your brother without a cause, he analogizes that to murder even at the same time. So, and how about this one? Unresolved conflict and anger can multiply the intensity of your future conflicts. That's the idea. I've kept it in, and we feel good as Christians that we didn't blow up, right? I'm a good Christian. I didn't blow up. But you didn't resolve it. And here's the problem. The next time it happens, remember the score sheet? You bring that out. You keep adding to the score sheet. You keep getting a little more angry. You keep saying, it's okay. And before long, the spark hits, and it is an explosion of epic proportions. And God doesn't want that, right? So unresolved conflict and anger can really cause us to have a more intense conflict later on. And then last point here is this, isolation in our marriages. In other words, you know, the two people that were so close, couldn't get enough of each other, are like divorced and they live in the same house. Or they're divorced and they live in different houses. They isolate from each other, right? I shared with you guys the scripture, by the way, all the way back to the book of Genesis. Remember Cain and Abel? It says, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance, your face appear to be fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, he's saying, look at your heart, Cain. If you're doing the right thing, you and Abel are going to be on the same page, and Abel won't get things that you're not getting now. And he says, if you do not do well, look what it says. Sin lies at the door. Isn't that true? So if I don't deal with this anger, if I don't control it in the power of the Spirit of God, man, I am on thin ice when it comes to being able to sin. Because everything in my flesh is taking me there. And that's what he's talking about here, right? So we got to deal with those issues like in a huge way. So let's continue on. So what do we do? How do we resolve this whole problem? By the way, honestly, right? Have we all been there? Can we feel that in our hearts, that anger welling up, that conflict, that unresolved anger? You know, we all do that. None of us are immune to that, no matter what. You know, if you have an office in church or not, it doesn't make a difference at all. We all struggle with those things. So how do we really resolve conflict in our marriages and every place else? And here's the answer. And we'll deal with them one by one. First one is this. We got to speak the truth in love. And I heard someone say this I thought was really good. He said, you know, if we don't speak the truth in love, it's often not truth. Because we overweight it. You know, kind of like the, you know, we come out, you always do this. You never do this. You know, like we hear that. Husbands hear that from their wives. You never fix things that are broken. You know, or, you know, you always sleep too late or whatever it is, right? You know, so we got to speak the truth in love. Second thing is this. When we get ready to confront someone, we got to approach confrontation very carefully. And I'm going to throw this out. I am promoting confrontation in church. But it's not something we rush into with the wrong attitude, the wrong spirit, the wrong motivation, etc. We'll cover that in a minute, right? I'll throw this out. If you wrong somebody, if we're going to be obedient to God, God says we ought to be seeking their forgiveness. And seeking is like we are chasing them down to resolve the problem of our relationship. We also ought to be granting forgiveness. Someone comes to you seeking forgiveness, we're not going to say, nope, I did it before. We want to grant them forgiveness, right? And we really got to change our attitudes, our actions, our choices got to be different, right? And then we have to consider this, and we'll leave you at that at the end of today. You know what? When someone curses you, bless them. I'll throw this out. They have control over you if they curse you and you curse them back. Tit for tat is not biblical. It's from the pit, really, right? And that's what we want to kind of cover today. So let's think about that. So here's the first thing. Speak the truth in love, right? And by the way, look what the Lord says. This is in the book of Ephesians, by the way. This follows the passage on spiritual gifts and spiritual gifted men and women who work in the church to raise us up. He says, God doesn't want us to be like children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Look what he says. But speaking the truth in love, we might grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. So here's the challenge. If something is wrong, we need to go to the person and we need to tell them the truth lovingly. Everybody look up for a second. Here's the point. The point isn't I want to be right and I want to say you're a jerk because I think you are. The point is if I'm married to you, you are God's gift to me, and I want to maintain that relationship at all costs, right? That's the point, right? We want to confront that way by speaking the truth lovingly in a way that we can be understood in a way that it can be accepted, right? That's the key, right? Speak the truth in love. And I'll throw out to you guys the second part there. I just kind of attached at the bottom. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 is the first verse, but look at verse 29. It says this, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So when we confront, by the way, you know, sometimes the tongue is pretty fiery, isn't it? You know, there's another verse talks about that our speech ought to be seasoned with salt. Some of us got some salty salt. Right? He's not meaning that. You know, we laugh around, by the way, our librarian brothers and sisters, they love to turn me red and give me spicy food and burn my mouth up, right? You know, sometimes that's how our words are. Like, they're so spicy in a bad way that they're just hurtful, right? And the Lord says, don't let that happen. Don't let those words come out of your mouth. And look what he says, by the way. Not only should our words be seasoned with salt in a good way, but they should be building up kind of words. He says, but what is good for necessary edification? You know what he means by that? By the way, think about this in our communication. Some things don't need to be said. So when I confront, when I think about doing a confrontation with someone and there's an issue and I need to resolve it, I don't need to say everything that I feel. I need to prepare my heart and my mind and my lips so I don't sabotage what I'm trying to accomplish. Does that make sense? Everyone doesn't need to hear every thought you have or me. You know, and sometimes we do that, don't we? And I think about these things that we come out. We start out with all this stuff and we've already kind of burned all the bridges that we're trying to build. So we don't want to do that. And look what it says, our words ought to be words that impart grace to the hearers. Remember what grace is? We like to talk about grace when God gives us grace, but grace is we give other people unmerited favor. In other words, maybe they're really acting like a jerk, but because I'm in Jesus and they are too, I'm going to give them that grace, and we're going to try to bring them back and bring them through that problem.
That's the goal, right? So that's what we're talking about. And I wrote down the word Proverbs there. Think about all the Proverbs, right? When we're going to confront someone, Proverbs says, a soft word turns away wrath. So if we start out talking like this, is the confrontation going to be real good, real successful? Probably not, right? You know, and Proverbs has all kinds of good things to say about how we need to address and speak to each other, right? So that's the first one. Speak the truth in love. That's the first step of our reconciliation process. Now, remember we said this. We said we need to make sure that we approach confrontation with care. And here's the thought. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says this. By the way, I spelled Galatians wrong. Forgive me for that. It's I-A-N-S. But it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, a sin, a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So if we're going to confront each other, husbands or wives or anyone else, right, the first thing we got to do is check our motivation. Am I confronting them because I want to get what I want? I'm just trying to work them. You know, by the way, many of us are very good at working each other, working situations. And by the way, write this word down, manipulate. You know, we kind of learn that in the business world, how to do that. We become good at manipulating circumstances and even facts and people to get what we want. That's not what God wants us to do. Check your motivation. Here's the next one. Check your attitude. You know, if you're coming in hot, 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 go get a cold shower or something. Cool down. Right? Because it's not going to really work. If you come in like a chainsaw, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And by the way, you're just going to sin. You're just going to make a mess of it. How about this one? Check the circumstances. What is the timing of this confrontation? What's the setting? And I'll throw this out. When you confront someone, like I'm not going to do this in church today, but like say me and Ansu got a problem. By the way, we don't. But have I said, Ansu, man, you know what happened? You know, and I'm confronting him right here and you all are watching. Is that a good situation? No, right? We got to do that away from the crowd. You know, and I'm going to throw this out. Parents, husbands and wives, sometimes we do it in front of the kids, right? Does that make any sense? No, that's the problem. So we got to make sure we check our motivation, check our attitude, and check our setting. Does it make sense? By the way, other pressures. Sometimes we'll say, you know, I only got about 10 minutes, but I'm going to confront her. Is that going to be like a successful thing? You know, like I got to be at work in, you know, 15 minutes. But I know Pastor Gary, he said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So I'm going to let her know what I think, and in about 9 minutes, I'm going to give her 1 minute to respond. You know, like, does that make any sense? No, right? No. So we got to check those situations out. Make sure we're doing it the right way. By the way, I'll throw this out. I said this 1,000 times at church. Being a Christian means we act thoughtfully to be biblical. We don't rush in. We don't do things. And by the way, have we all done that? Yeah, we've all blown things up so much. Our children are coming in for communion in a second, which is great. Okay, so we got to think about that one. Here's the next one. Check your willingness to accept confrontation in return. Everybody look up. So when you get ready to confront somebody and deal with the issue, what is likely to happen? You're part of the problem, and they're going to confront you back. Right? They're going to say, well, that's true, but you know what you did. Are we willing to hear that? And again, being biblical, I got to be willing to hear that. Right? That's the idea, right? And then approach the confrontation with prayer. Again, don't rush. Think before you speak. Pray. Get God to settle your heart down. By the way, I'll share with me. Sometimes, and I have a big mouth, and you guys know that, but a lot of times if I'm getting ready to confront something or someone, literally sometimes my voice kind of cracks. Like it's not the same. And it's because my heart is racing, my emotions are up here, and that should kind of be a red flag that I'm really probably not ready to confront someone in a biblical way. Does that make sense? That's the check, right? You know, we've got to be careful of that. And then I said this too, you know, be humble and give grace. They're ultimately your brother in Christ. You don't have to kill them. We just want them to you know, change, or we want to bring to their attention, you know, an issue that they have that they're struggling with. Keep a biblical focus. Jot these down real quick. Address the problem, not the person. That make sense? Address the problem. You said this, you did this, etc. Not, man, you're a jerk. You're hopeless. You're an awful sinner. Like those things, you're attacking the person. Attack the problem, don't attack the person. Keep a biblical focus on what we're trying to accomplish as we do that, right? And there's a whole bunch more. I'll share them as we come along in the future, right? Keep a biblical focus. So we're going to move on. That's how we address conflict, right? Here's the next thing, real quick. Not only do we have to seek, right, to be forgiven, we need to go out after someone and really seek that they would forgive us, that they would be open to hearing what's going on. And I went through this out today. You know what? We're going to do the Lord's table this morning, right? And a lot of times we'll take communion, and maybe we have something against that guy over there in the back or that guy over there. I've heard people say this in a counseling situation. Well, you know what? I'm going to sit on one side of the church, and they're going to sit on the other. And let me ask the question. Is that okay in God's mind? No, right? That's kind of, again, human craziness, right? And the Lord says this, right? As we seek forgiveness, he says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. And after this out, it's kind of hard for us to say, you know, me and God are cool, but me and so-and-so, we're not cool. Well, guess what? You and God ain't cool if you're not cool with everybody else. Right? It doesn't work that way. And again, we like to kind of compartmentalize our Christianity that, man, my worship is great. I'm at church. I did all these things. And then we're hateful to maybe the person like our spouse who is the closest one that God's given us. It just doesn't really work. So we got to keep that in mind. Seek forgiveness. And then we wanted to grant forgiveness. And I just want to focus on that first verse. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So every time you struggle to forgive someone, ask yourself, did Jesus struggle to forgive you? Right? Kind of puts things in great perspective there, really, right? And Matthew talks about that, and as does the next verse. So you know what? When we've done all these things, we got to change. We got to change our attitude. We got to change our action. And we got to change our choices. We got to choose to love each other. We got to choose to act like Jesus. We got to choose to confront, because it's better than letting it simmer. It's better than blowing up. We got to change, right? And the last thing I'll leave you guys with is this. Consider the power of blessing. What am I talking about here? I mentioned it earlier. Someone might come at you with fire in their lips. Don't go give them fire back. Bless them instead. And look, by the way, Peter wrote these words. He said, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as a brother, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Look at the phrase. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you might inherit a blessing. Think about that, right? Hasn't God called you to be a one who blesses? Yeah, that's right. And I want to challenge us. That's kind of what God wants us to be. Now, how do we get there? This is the last thing. How do we get there? We'll skip over that verse right now. Here's how we get there. I want to challenge us today, right? We got to recognize and confess our own issues with conflict and anger. And seriously, right? All of us in the room today, I guarantee somebody rolled in here this morning pretty angry. We cover it really good. Now, we got like good-looking clothes, and you know, we got good smiles. Sometimes they're more plastic than reality, but we cover it over really, really good, right? Right? We cover it over good. But in a serious way, if we're going to change, if we're going to be different, and we're going to have marriage relationships and other relationships that are solid and strong and biblical and Christ-like, we got to be honest with God. We got to be honest. And you know, maybe came in and said, maybe your husband's not here, your wife's not here, whatever it is, and there's some conflict. You know what? Let's go try to resolve it. But let's go in carefully. Let's think it through. Let's pray it through. Let's do all those things so we can address those things. You know, the next thing there is be a peacemaker. Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember he said it? What's the word? How's that verse go? He said, blessed are the peacemakers. By the way, I can't find a verse. Maybe you guys can check it out this week as homework. Is there a verse that says, blessed are those that are right? Anybody find that scripture anywhere? I haven't found that one yet. Maybe it's in a, you know, a non-canonical book or something. I don't know, but I haven't found that one. Blessed are the peacemakers. And may we as the people of God be that. Amen? We're going to pray. We're going to ask our deacons to come. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table together. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for its power. Lord, it challenges us right to the core of our being. I pray, dear God, that you would just work in our hearts and our minds, Lord, today. Father, help us to be real and to confess, Lord, to you and to others, Lord, our sin in this area, Lord, our anger, our hostility, Lord, the needs, Lord, that we feel like are unmet. Father God, I pray that we would be really open and honest and real to take them to you first and then to begin to biblically confront each other, Lord, in a loving way, speaking the truth in love and dealing with the issues, Lord, so that we can have real healing and, Father, a depth of love in our relationship that would match Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts now today as we come to your table. I ask, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts as we just celebrate the fact, Lord, that we're your children, and as a result, we have power to overcome these kinds of problems. And Lord, I ask this now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.